Bernard, host of Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul. Join me Mondays at noon as we explore the universal energy that connects us all. Let's discuss our journey of self-discovery, joy, presence, and living with authenticity. We can create positive change in the world, and it starts within each one of us. Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul. Mondays at noon on CITR 101.9 FM, Vancouver. Hello, welcome to Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul. Thank you for being with me today. I'm so excited to speak with today's guest. Mary O'Malley is an author, professional speaker, and transformational life coach. She has over 30 years of experience living and teaching the art of being fully alive, and you can totally feel it in her book, What's in the Way is the Way, Moving Beyond Your Struggle into the Joy of Being Fully Alive. I've read this book cover to cover, and I've been jumping ahead, and I'm on my second reading now, so I'm so excited to speak with Mary. Welcome to the show, Mary.
Oh, I'm so glad to be here, Marie.
Thank you for being with me. Well, this book feels like it's about radical acceptance, though you don't use that term very often. So how would you describe and sum up this book?
Well, I think the best way to describe it is with a metaphor at the very beginning of the book. Imagine a beautiful meadow. Everything in that meadow flows. There's nothing that resists life. The fir tree doesn't want to be a maple tree. The marmot isn't afraid that death is going to come. They just are a part of this creative flow of life. And we all lived there when we were very young. But imagine the clouds in the sky beginning to slow down, and then they slowly and surely, and they whirl and swirl around you, and you can no longer see the meadow. The key is you've never left the meadow. We just think we have. We've been caught in this mental version of the world. We think 65,000 thoughts a day, and 95% of them are repeats from the day before. And we see these clouds of this mental version. We don't see the meadow. And I spent years trying to get back to the meadow until I finally discovered, oh, I've never left it. And I began to use my attention to thin the clouds, just like the morning sun thins the fog. And there is the meadow again.
Mm. That metaphor spoke to me so strongly, because throughout this journey that I've been on, I'm trying to fix myself. I'm trying to
get
better. And your book is really about there's nothing to fix, but you can observe what goes on. You can make change.
Yes. Yes, and since I wrote the book, there's been a further articulation of the meadow metaphor that I think you will really, really enjoy. So here we are, and you're just a complete cloud bank in the meadow, and you can see one hand sticking out, and there's a butterfly net, and it's the mind that says, if I just catch enough butterfly, then I'll be happy. And that's what most people do. They're always trying to get to someplace. Then on the other hand is a fly swatter. And if I just get rid of what I don't like, if I get rid of this fear, if I get rid of this anxiousness, if I get rid of this shame, then everything will be okay. And imagine that you're an alien and you've landed on planet Earth, and you landed right next to this meadow. And here is this cloud bank with a butterfly net sticking out of it and a fly swatter. And here's this cloud bank careening around the meadow, trying to get away from what it doesn't like and get towards what it does like. And of course, the alien can see there's no peace in that. But we can learn how to be curious. And I took on such fear, I almost died of it. And then slowly and surely, life taught me how to be curious about fear, rather than getting lost in it or trying to run away from it. And now I travel the world, you know, in great joy, because fear no longer controls me.
Wow, what's that like?
Oh, it's wonderful. It doesn't mean that fear doesn't come. It doesn't mean that, well, in this book I talk about them as spells. That cloud bank that you are caught in is the cloud bank of struggle. And most of the time, you know, the struggle isn't very big. It doesn't like the length of the stoplight or how your hair looks today or how your clothes fit. But it can really develop into just huge, gigantic, horrendous fears that absolutely, you know, paralyze you. And so it isn't about getting rid of fear. It's about discovering that you are the space that fear happens in. So, for example, a very beloved family member almost died, you know, last March and was in ICU for 6 days, in the hospital for 13. And believe you me, sitting in that room in the ICU, all sorts of states came. And every once in a while, I would start getting caught in them, and thus I would get tight. But the tightness alerted me, and then I got curious. And curiosity is the ability to see what's going on. Oh, that's fear, rather than I am afraid, or that is shame, or that is sadness, or loneliness, or whatever. Those are all just the spells that we took on when we were very young, that you can learn how to do what I call look and unhook.
I'm just so happy to have read your book. And you know, they say when the student is ready, the teacher will appear. I have to question whether I would have been ready for this material before. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I know it came at the perfect time.
Right.
And it's interesting because throughout the journey of this show, I started out with talking about the law of attraction and everything. And, mm-hmm. and that whole school of thought is really about getting what you want.
Right.
And yeah. Which is great. It's nice to get what you want, but we're always trying to get what we want because we don't want to feel what we feel.
Absolutely. That is so true. And it's an important phase that everybody has to go through. But after a while, if you really start working with it, you'll see that it creates fear. Oh, I'm not doing it good enough. Or, oh, my God, I thought of that. And, oh, my God, am I going to create that? And it brings up shame. Oh, my God, everybody else can do this, but I can't. Carolyn Mace, a well-known teacher of awakening, was in Seattle in the 90s. And I wasn't there, but a friend was there with 600 other people. She used to be in that phase of the law of attraction and you create your reality. And she invited anybody who'd been able to do that to raise their hand. And there was not one person that raised their hand. Why is that? Because what life has in store for us is so much better than anything that we can try to create on our own. And as soon as you say, I want this but not that, you go to war with life, so that increases your cloud bank and cuts you off from the joy, the aliveness, the peace, the connection that is always here. What I love to say is everything you want and everything you truly are is to be found right here, right now.
Yeah. I've promised myself I'm going to allow, this is radio, so I don't like to have too much silence, but I feel like we need it to just sit.
To take these in, yeah.
Yeah,
because the shift of perception we're talking about. It's like we were talking before we went on the radio that my second book, this is my fourth book, my second book is called The Gift of Our Compulsions. And the core premise is our core compulsion is to struggle. It's to this cloud bank that is always trying to get what it wants and get away from what it doesn't want. and all the other compulsions, whether it's busyness or overeating or heroin or prescription drugs or television or the internet, are all an attempt to numb out from that struggle.
It's interesting. Since I've been reading this book, just in the last, it's been almost 4 weeks now, I went through a breakup, and then a couple of days later, a very good friend died very shockingly and tragically. And so it's been a lot, but I've been... the reason I say that I think it came in perfect timing is that it helped me. I mean, I've been on this path, but it really helped give me the encouragement even more so to sit with and observe what's been going on within me and the thoughts that come up, the judgments, and to not attach so much to them, because I might have a thought like, oh, I wasn't the best girlfriend every moment of our relationship.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah. And there is a wonderful little thing that came all in one fell swoop when I was writing this book. Life is set up to bring up what has been bound up so it can open up to be freed up so we can show up for life. Now, to really understand that, we need to know, and this is why the meadow metaphor is so powerful, our natural state is free-flowing aliveness, just like when a baby was young. Happiness, sadness, madness, gladness, they all dance through the babe. There wasn't anything inside of them that held on. Then we started creating what I call the storyteller in our heads. That is this, creates this self-image, and the key word is image, because image is not the real thing. And we crawl into this storyteller in our head, which then separates us from life. And we learn how to tighten our bodies. We learn how to resist the feelings that were so big inside of us that we didn't know what to do with them, so we learned how to hold our breath and run away to our heads. Well, those feelings don't go away. They're trapped energy inside of us. And we keep on trying to run away from it. And it's like, you know, I was trained in backpacking. If you come across a bear in the woods, don't run away, because the bear will run after you. But we were trained to run away from our loneliness, our sadness, our shame, our fear, our terror, our not enoughness, our irritation, our anger. And because of that, we stay stuck to this stuff like glue. Now, that tightens up this flow of energy, and we're cut off from life. So life is inviting us back into the flow by putting us in the situations to help us to see how we tighten. What are the states that we tighten down around? What are the states we try to get away from? And oftentimes it takes something like, I call it the yellow highlighter of life, when life gives you a couple of things right in a row, a breakup and a death, a sudden death. And this wakes up all of this stuff that got bound up inside of us. And my job is to make you curious. So let's take, for example, that I knew dread. Dread is that feeling of something really bad is going to happen. It's going to happen because I did something wrong. And I once gained 97 pounds in a year to try to get away from it. I washed all that stuff down with alcohol. I took every drug I could get my hands on. And when that didn't work, I tried to kill myself 3 times. All trying to get away from dread. And then I was taught how to be curious. It took a while to discover how to be curious so that I wasn't gobbled up by the states. But as soon as I could learn how to be with dread, that tightness just passed through me. It didn't need to be fixed. It didn't need to be gotten rid of. It didn't even need to be understood. My goodness, I did just thousands of years of therapy. It just needed to be touched through the light of my attention.
Well, Mary, I feel like it's a good time to talk about the spells, because I think that mm-hmm. that dread and those mm-hmm. negative feelings, they all come up because of these fundamental beliefs that we hold.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I'm glad you said beliefs, because that's really what they are. But I like the word spells even better, because number one, it kind of captures your attention. And number two, a spell is something that's not true. It's laid over the top of you, and it can be lifted. And most of what we think of as ourselves are spells. These beliefs in that life is not safe, and I'm separate, and I have to control it, and if I'm not controlling it good enough, so there's something wrong with me. And there's eight core spells, and I've had the wonderful grace of seeing inside of the minds and hearts of tens and thousands of people in the last 30 years. And these spells came out of that work to see that we all carry these spells. And freedom comes when you recognize that they are spells, and begin to be able to see them. Like for me, when dread was operating, I began to be able to go, no, wait, what's here? Who's here? And bring my attention towards it and be curious about it.
Well, it is time for a break already. The time is just flying by. Right now, we are speaking with Mary O'Malley. Mary is an author, professional speaker, and transformational life coach. She has over 30 years of experience living and teaching the art of being fully alive. And she is here to speak about her book, What's in the Way is the Way, Moving Beyond Your Struggle into the Joy of Being Fully Alive. We'll be back with more synchronicity in a moment.
Panzine West is Canada's largest zine and alt culture festival. $5 entry gets you access to underground zines, comics, and micro press from across Canada. This year features Mimi Pond, author of Over Easy and writer on Simpsons and Pee-wee's Playhouse. Also featuring Leanne Prain and fiction from Janine Allison. The 1-2 punch book pitch will let audience get live feedback from our judges. Panzine West is Saturday, November 8th, 1 to 7 p.m. at the Goldcorp Center for the Arts, 149 West Hastings. Visit brokenpencil.com for tickets and info, or look up Broken Pencil on Facebook or Twitter. Sponsored by CITR.
A show dedicated to playing psychedelic music from parts of the spectrum, rock, pop, electronic, as well as garage and noise rock. Sundays, 5 to 6 p.m. at CITR 101.9 FM.
Welcome back. We are speaking with Mary O'Malley. What's in the Way is the Way, Moving Beyond Your Struggle into the Joy of Being Fully Alive. I'm your host, Marie Bernard. This is Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul. Thanks so much for being with me today. And if you want more information about Mary and the work she's doing, you can go to her website, maryomalley.com. And welcome back to the show, Mary.
Thank you.
Thanks. So can we talk a little bit more about these spells? Because I feel like especially the hidden spells.
Right.
Number one, I think a lot of us are not aware of them. And then when we become aware of them, we think we're alone in that.
Oh, so true. I have had the good grace to hang out with a man called Stephen Levine. He's not teaching anymore, but he wrote many books on death and dying, but he really wrote books about how to be fully alive and live from the heart. And he said at one time, I'm going to create a hat, and when you put it on your head, it's going to instantaneously broadcast over a loudspeaker all of your thoughts. And there was about 200 people in the room, and there was this collective groan, and he said something along this line that, no, you would know so much freedom, because you would discover that we're all caught in the same place. And the, I think the other thing before we start talking about the spells is that the word personality, its root word comes, it's persona, and it means mask. So most of us have learned how to be human doings rather than human beings. We have learned how to be what we think we should be, and we're cut off from our natural aliveness, our joy, our authenticity. And to begin to see how that happened and to see it with great compassion is how these spells are lifted. So the first spell that we all take on is, I am separate from life. And nothing could be further from the truth. You know, in my retreats, I do retreats in beautiful tropical places like Costa Rica and Hawaii, and I do a food meditation, and at the end of the food meditation, most people just have their mind absolutely blown because they see that that's not a strawberry they're holding in their hand. It took the whole universe in order to make it. And so we are at one with this dynamic, alive, intelligent flow of life, but we think that we are separate from it. And that's our homesickness. That is our homesickness. We long to come home to the flow of life, to have our belly soft, our heart open, and our attention engaged with life the moment it appears out of mystery. But this veil, I am separate, and where it takes you, cuts us off from that. And so the second spell that it takes us to is life is not safe. Because when you're separate, you see that, oh my God, it includes loss and pain and death and so on and so forth. None of those are what they look like on the surface, but that's a whole other, you know, conversation. But to really understand that we believe that life is not safe, I am here to say it is a benevolent, loving process, and it is love. And yes, it does include pain, loss, and death, but that doesn't take away the truth. That is the safest thing you'll ever do, is come back into the flow of life. So those are the two core spells. Then they lead us to the three operating spells. I've got to do life. In other words, I've got to control it. And I've got to do it right. And I'm not doing it right enough or good enough. And that's where most people live, thinking that that yep. is themselves. They constantly are, you know, let's just take our hair, for heaven's sakes. You know, we have too much or too little, or it's too curly, or it's too straight, or it's too gray, or it's too blonde, or it's too, I don't know, you know, everything. And so it's a very good window into how much we are constantly trying to do life, to be what we think we should be, and do it right. And then secretly believing we're not doing it right enough. So then we pick ourselves back up again. Now I got to do it, and I got to do it right. You know, another place you can see these three operating spells are in weight loss, you know, and that whole industry that is such a, creates such heartache, you know, in the world. So then we live those three operating spells long enough, and life doesn't show up in the way that we think it should show up. And it brings closer to the surface the three hidden spells that we all carry. And the first is, because I'm not doing it right, I am wrong. Or even I am bad. And everybody has this. Everybody has visits, you know, attacks from this deep belief that not only am I not doing it right, but I am not right. Then that leads to the second hidden spell. Because I am bad and wrong, I am unlovable. And this is one of the greatest heartaches that human beings carry. It's so amazing, because we are made out of love, we are breathed by love, we drink love as water. The sun loves us. We live in a sea of love, and we do not see it because we have taken on these spells. And the more we take on these spells, it leads us to the last spell, which is a spell that I lived in for a long, long, long time. And that is, I am all alone. And most people would say they don't have the three hidden spells unless they're woken up in the middle of the night after a breakup, or they screwed up a major project at work, or they were in an automobile accident, or their loved one got sick, or maybe they're sick. And that opens the door to these hidden spells, and they can beat us up in the middle of the night, and then we wrestle them to the ground, but they don't go away. They're there influencing us from underneath our everyday awareness. The amazing thing, Marie, if you take that main word of the eighth core spell, where all of these spells lead us to, I am all alone, and you separate that word out, it's all one. That's the truth. Go back to the meadow metaphor. You've never left the meadow. You just have been trained to pay attention to these clouds of spells that whirl and swirl around you. And that's our heartache. We can't get back to the meadow because we're already there. Our job is to discover how to see these spells as they operate inside of them, us, and see them with great mercy, kindness, and compassion. That is what heals.
Wow. Mary, when you were sharing that about being in the meadow, that we've always been in the meadow, we just can't see it, it reminded me of animals that they've done tests on, and elephants. They'll cage, have an elephant on a big chain, and he'll try and get away. And then after so long, he'll stop trying, and then they'll just have him on a little chain, and he never tries to get away again,
right,
because his
right.
belief is yeah. it's hopeless. I'll never
yes.
get away. So he doesn't even
yes.
try.
Yes. Yes. And that's why I tried to kill myself three times. Helpless, hopeless, despair. But then a few years later, life showed me how to be curious. And then, a few years after that, through Stephen Levine, I learned how to be curious with great, great kindness. Because in those years before I met Stephen, I was curious. But there was still a lot of revulsion, hatred, and shame for the depth, for the spells, and for the depth that I had these spells. And then I learned how to be kind with the spells.
Mm. Can you say more about that? So do you mean be kind even though you're having these thoughts? Or
yes. Yep. You'll be amazed if you start being curious and watching what goes through your mind all day long. You know, let's take self-judgment. It is astounding how cruel we can be with ourselves. And then we judge other people, and we judge ourselves for judging other people, not understanding that judging other people is like a safety release valve, like on a pressure cooker, for all of the self-judgment that we have taken on in our lives. You know, I love to say that mine metaphorically went to law school and graduated top in its class and was president of the debate club. So it could convince me of my not only unworthiness, I'm trying to think of another word, of my total ineptness, my total brokenness, my total, you know, stupidity, I can't even get a word that's strong enough here about how much self-hate used to run my life. And then I started being curious, and I carried a notebook around with me is when I first started seeing this, and I said, well, I'm going to watch this judging quality of my mind. And then the judge said, well, I don't judge you. you know, ha ha. So then I started carrying a notebook around, and I would write down when I would catch it, you know, judging. I was at work, and it would say something about, you know, that my boss, you know, surely has figured out now that I'm the most inept person around, whatever, you know, and all this. And I would write all this down, and I brought it home and got a big, huge piece of newsprint and printed the circle, this big circle, and then in the center of it, I put a circle with a heart in it, which was the core of who we are. And then on the spokes, I put spokes in this circle, and I wrote down all of these words that I say to myself. And when I saw them out there, something happened inside of me. I began to see how scared the judger was. I began to see how young it was. So now I not only can catch it, being curious about it when it comes, you know, I'm very alert to what happens in my body when the judger comes, and it can come, it can still come at times, but very quickly I go straight into curiosity and say, "Hi, sweetheart, you're having a bad day, aren't you?" And I hope you can hear in that sense that I'm not believing in its story. I'm not running away from it. I am turning towards it. I'm saying hello, and I'm touching it with my heart. And it was Carl Jung that said that, you know, we're a community in there. You know, we've got all these different parts, and each one of them have a different view of the world. A view that was created and frozen inside of us before we were six. We can release them purely by seeing them and seeing them with kindness, because they're just like you and I. You know, if you had a friend that you had a bad day and you went to talk with your friend, and your friend said, "Oh, Marie, you're talking about that again," or, "Oh, Marie, I don't have time for you," or, "Oh, Marie, I need to fix you. You know, I need to fix you because this is not okay." How would that make you feel? But if that friend listened to you and you could feel there was no judgment in that listening, there was just an intent to really meet you right where you are, in a matter of minutes, you would start feeling better. Not because she said anything, not because she's fixed anything, but because her attention, her non-judgmental attention was there. And that's what these parts want, to heal. Whether it's your angry part, oh my God, we just give anger such a bad rap, or it's the lonely one, or it's the despairing one, or the irritated one, or the arrogant one, or the ashamed one, or the scared one. They all are longing to be seen and heard, just like we long to be seen and heard.
Well, that brings me to a question about the five great teachers.
Yes.
Can you tell us more about that?
Well, it's been a while since I've read the book, so give me the list of the five great teachers, and we will go over them. Do you have it there?
I've got to find it in the book, too. I'm not sure where it is. I just wrote the five great teachers.
It was so great because I heard an interview about a month ago of somebody that was asked that, and he said, "No, wait, I haven't read my book for a long time." So it was so great because that's what happens when you're writing a book. It just pours through you. And it's not something, I mean, I've gone back and read like my first book thinking, "Oh my God, I wrote it so many years ago." And about 6 months ago, I went back to look for something and I started reading it. I thought, "God, this is a really good book."
Okay. I think I've found it. I got to notice all the, "Oh no, I'm wrong for not having written down."
I know.
All
here
five
we are.
Teachers.
That's what the mind does.
Yeah.
So.
Okay, now everyone's going to think I'm stupid.
Oh,
and a terrible host.
Yeah, I found it too. The five great teachers. Now, I want to share a little metaphor. that before we do that, that's a brand new one. And I love metaphors because a picture is worth 1,000 words. And this is somewhat like the metaphor with the butterfly net and the fly swatter that you hear when you're very young, that in the highest mountain in the land is a cave, and it's got treasures in it. So, oh my God, you go to the gym and you take mountaineering classes and so on and so forth. And after many, many attempts, you finally get up to the cave in the highest mountain in the land, and you walk in, and there is a pile of gold, a pile of rubies, a pile of diamonds, and a pile of emeralds. You think, oh my God, I have it! You know, so you stuff your pack with all this stuff, and down you go. Well, let's say the gold represents a perfect mate, and the diamonds represent perfect health, and the rubies represent lots of money, you know, and the emeralds represent blissful states of meditation. Well, 30 years later, you spent all of the treasure trying to get all these things. Remember the butterfly net, you know. And every once in a while, you can get it together, but then it falls apart. And you're sitting there dejected, and you hear this voice, and it says, you didn't bring the core treasure back. And your ears perk up, and you mean it's still in the cave? Yeah, it's still in the cave. So, of course, now you've gained weight because you've been able to eat at fine restaurants and so on and so forth. So you go to the gym, and you work out, and you get new mountaineering equipment and so on and so forth. And you hire a really good Sherpa, you know, and up you go, and you do get to the cave. And you walk in, and you don't see anything. And you look all around, high and low, every nook and cranny, and you don't see anything. And you sit down again, and you're very dejected. Well, you hear the voice again. And the voice said, the treasure is here. And all of a sudden, your eyes light up on this rusty lump of something or other. And you had seen it before. It was right in the middle of the circle of diamonds and rubies and emeralds and gold. You know, and you think, could that be the treasure? No. Well, what have I got to lose? And you go over and you pick up this lump, rusted lump, and all of a sudden your whole perception changes. And you realize that everything you long for, everything you truly are, has always been right here, right now. And you have spent your life trying to get someplace else. And what this rusty lump of something or other represents is discomfort. Now, most people don't understand what I mean when I say that. But when you come across something that is uncomfortable, like a thought or a feeling or a sensation in our body, our ingrained conditioned reaction is to resist. And what I say, has that ever brought you the peace that you long for? I learned from Stephen Levine, who learned it from thousands and thousands of people on their deathbed, that if you can turn towards and be with discomfort, something opens. In fact, you know, many, many people know Rumi. He's probably the most popular poet in the world now. And many people know The Guest House, which is his most popular poem, but they only know the first half of it. And in the second half, he has one of the most important lines. Learn the alchemy that true human beings know. As soon as you accept the difficulties you've been given, a door opens. Another way we can say it, as soon as you start turning towards to be with discomfort, a door opens. Something happens, and he calls it alchemy, and so do I. We're beginning to learn that the most powerful, transformative tool we have is our own attention. So the five core teachers are the places that bring up this tightness inside of us, this tightness which we've fallen into, we've tried to get rid of, or discomfort, or whatever you want to call it. And now we're beginning to discover how to be with it, and it literally begins to dissolve the cloud bank. So the five core teachers are compulsions. That's the first one. It's so amazing, Marie. All the statistics say, well, U.S. Surgeon General in the United States says 98% of every pound that is lost in America is gained back plus some within a year and a half. The key to that is the plus some, that what we try to control controls us. And we're now discovering how to move beyond the urge to control into the longing to connect and gather the gifts that are always there, like Rumi says in the guest house. So compulsions can be a very powerful teacher. Illness is another powerful teacher, and it doesn't matter whether it is a head cold or a diagnosis of stage 4 cancer, that life is offering you something that is showing you the spell-based mind that's made out of fear and glued together with judgment. Pain can do the same thing. The pain of a acid, overly acid stomach, or even a headache, or the great pain of bone cancer. Finances are a real key place where you can see this struggling self. You can see how you've been trained to try to get away from what you don't like and go towards what you do like. And I save the best for last. And that is people. You know, in my world, this is a schoolroom. And everybody, they are character actors in our theater of awakening, and they've been hired from central casting. And whether it's your next door neighbor or your boss or your next door neighbor's dog or your boyfriend or your soon to be divorced spouse or even one of your children, you slowly and surely, as you awaken, you begin to discover that life is set up to bring up the exact kind of people you need in your life, to bring up what has been bound up so we can open up, to be freed up, so you can show up for life. And I think the most important thing to take out of this very brief synopsis of the five core teachers is life is for us. It may not look like that on the surface, but this is a highly intelligent process. For heaven's sakes, you were once one cell that was so tiny you couldn't even see it with the naked eye. And that cell knew how to divide and develop into all the systems in your body. And now it's 70 trillion cells, and they all work together a lot better than the 7 billion people on this planet. There is an intelligence. And it doesn't exit left stage just because we think we're in charge. Life is speaking to us at all times. And we can learn that our challenges, rather than happening because we've done something wrong or God's fallen asleep on the job or being punished for something, our challenges are here to set us free, to show us what inside of us we are ready to see, and see with great heart, so we can do what I call look to unhook.
It's interesting with all of these. I mean, the compulsions and the people and all of the things that are great teachers. They're really there because we have these spells, and ultimately
right.
We all believe I'm all alone, I'm unlovable, I have
right.
to get it perfect, otherwise
yes.
I won't be. And
right.
and I think that's why, I mean, there's so many things that people bring up with that in us, and all of these teachers just show us our imperfections. And
yes.
and
yeah.
because we have this hidden fear that if we're not perfect, we won't be loved and we'll be
yes.
alone.
Yes. Yes, so deep.
It's so painful
yeah.
to admit
yeah.
our imperfections.
Yeah. Isn't it amazing? It's one of the reasons why I do retreats, why I do groups, and I do phone groups and phone counseling too, if anybody's interested, so that we can gather together with other people and discover that there's no such thing as being perfect. In fact, I put in the end of my first book, Belonging to Life, a wonderful Zen quote. Freedom comes when you are without anxiety about non-perfection. Wow. Now, in my years of overeating and drinking and drugging, I did a lot of unskillful things. And I carried such hatred for myself. And there's no healing that can happen when that hatred has the upper hand. But slowly and surely, I began to be able to meet myself in my heart. And I like Stephen's definition of forgiveness. Letting it be. I realized that I was doing the best that I knew how with the pain that I was given when I was young. And it is an amazing, amazing thing to finally meet yourself in your own heart. Not only for yourself, that's the task we have been given in this lifetime, as far as I can see, is to meet ourselves in our own hearts so we can then be authentically ourselves, which is not perfect. There's no such thing as perfection. But that is what will heal our world, is people that have learned how to meet themselves in their heart enough that they are authentically themselves as they go throughout their day. That's what will heal our world.
Mm. Well, it is time for another break. We are speaking with Mary O'Malley. She is the author of a few books, but the one we're talking about right now is What's in the Way is the Way, Moving Beyond Your Struggle into the Joy of Being Fully Alive. If you're resonating with what Mary is saying, you can check out her website, MaryO'Malley.com, MaryO'Malley.com. My website is spiritualshow.com. I'm your host, Marie Bernard. This is Synchronicity Talk Radio for your mind, body, and soul. We'll be right back.
Are you not sure where to go on campus? Traveling late at night and afraid to go alone? Call SafeWalk, a free service where a co-ed team will take you anywhere you need to go on campus. Don't walk alone. For a walk, add SafeWalk to your phone. Call 604-822-5355. That's 604-822-5355. Alternatively, use a UBC Blue phone and ask for SafeWalk. Approach any SafeWalk team or drop by our office on the main floor of the sub across from the gallery lounge. Because you're mine, I
walk the line. All right, so we are speaking with Mary O'Malley, author of What's in the Way is the Way. And Mary, we have just a few minutes left in the show. I am curious. We're talking about how freedom comes when you're without anxiety about non-perfection, and you had spoken about how you were doing the best that you could with the pain that you had from your childhood. And what that brings up for me is a question about purpose, because I feel like on our journey, once we start to accept our pain and almost see it as, like you said, it is the way. It's how we see ourselves. Mm-hmm. It's our teacher. So then I feel like a lot of people, like myself, feel like we have to make some meaning out of that.
Right. Yes. And that's the head again. And, you know, I was interviewed for a really interesting book a few years ago called M-Braining, the letter M-Braining. And they took 600 of the leading research papers on the fact that we have three brains. And one is the abdominal brain, one is the heart brain, and one is the head brain. And by far, research has found that our main brain is the heart. How does that relate to what you're talking about? The head has been so trained that it is in charge, and it's got to do life, and it's got to do life right. But there's something that happens when you begin to, the head begins to drop into the heart, this heart brain, you know, that is highly, highly intelligent. There's something that happens that you begin to relax into the flow. Pema Chodron, the very well-known Buddhist nun that, you know, when she writes a book, it goes to the New York Times bestseller list, you know, right away and absolutely, you know, forever. Her definition of enlightenment, relaxing into life. And there's something that happens. You know, in my last two books, I had, after I wrote The Gift of Our Compulsions, I had no even interest in writing another book. I'd written two what I consider really good books. And I was sitting in meditation one morning, and all of a sudden, my third book, which is a fairy tale, you know, it's the story of awakening, but in a fairy tale, and I meant it for adults, but many people have read it to their children also, and it describes this journey that we've been on, about how we got caught in the village called Mind, and so on and so forth, and what happened in there, and then how we saw the magical forest, you know, of aliveness, and all of a sudden, it started coming. I said, go away, I'm meditating. And it wouldn't let me go. So I sat down and wrote in 15 minutes the bony structure of this book. And the same thing happened with What's in the Way is the Way. I, again, had no intention to write another book. And I was now on a meditation retreat. And it came, the structure of it came all in about a half an hour. The reason why I'm sharing it with you is because there's something that happens when you relax into life and you realize the core meaning is really, truly how to be here right now. Now, remember, you know, it's not about trying to be here. That's where a lot of people have gotten caught. You know, they've really struggled, and so many people have come to me and said, I try to be in the now, but I can't be in the now. You know, well, you're already in the now. You're always in the now. Our job is to see all the spells that we took on, and as we thin them with our attention, then it's just more natural to be in this moment. And the more that you are in this moment, the more life lives you. So what the reason why life gave you life, which is a huge, gigantic gift, it now can pour itself through you. We don't so much need to figure that out, try to plan it. In fact, sometimes that gets in the way. I'm not saying that we don't plan. That's a part of life. But planning becomes the whole way that we try to live life rather than a structure that we use to help us maneuver through life. So I would say the core meaning to life is to be here, to come back to life, and then allow life to live through you. It's a little bit like you've been steering a car your whole life, and somebody says, you know, you don't need to steer it. You know, it really does quite well on its own. In fact, it knows better than you do where the car needs to go. And you let go of the steering wheel for 2 seconds, and then you grab it back on again. But slowly and surely, you start letting go. And you realize life knows what it's doing, that life is smarter than you. And so I can't tell you how many people have told me, well, I don't do meaningful work. And I say, oh, my God, you're doing the most meaningful work a human being can do. And that is to see through the cloud bank of struggle inside of you, to see the war. Because I assure you, when you look at the evening news, and you see all the heartache on that planet, on this planet, that has all gone through minds that are caught in their cloud bank. And to me, what will heal this world one person at a time is people that learn how to look and unhook from the spells they took on so they can be fully here for life. So does that touch on your question?
I don't even know what my question was now, but that was amazing. Yes, thank you.
I love it.
I really like, the whole book, when I started the hour, I said this really is about radical acceptance. And
right.
And the whole book is really about, like you said, not trying so hard. It's not that you exactly. don't. It's not that you don't do things, but you're not right. you're not forcing it. And
right.
I think this is the longest I've been able to consistently meditate. And
right.
I think it's because of the way that you present it. I mean, first of all, you start out with 5 minutes and you add one
right.
each week, which is a great pace.
Yeah. Yeah. And for your listeners, there's a 10-week invitation at the end of each chapter, you know, is a week and then another week and another week, and it slowly builds up the muscle of your curiosity and the muscle of what I call spaciousness, or some people call compassion, but I like spaciousness a lot better. Because it really is discovering this spaciousness that all of these spells can arise inside of us, and then they can pass right through us. And so if your listeners are interested, they can email me email the business here at awaken@maryomalley.com, and I'd be glad to send them the forward in the intro to it so they can get a taste of it. And if they want to see more about how to get the book, they can do it on my website, but we have a whole new website for the book, What's in the Way is the Way. And this book is getting amazing, amazing endorsements. And some are at the top on the, you know, those little windows that move in the top, but most of them are at the bottom. But some pretty amazing people are endorsing this book, which I am just thrilled. It's like my child is getting sent out into the world with a lot of kudos.
Wonderful. I've got the next guys wanting to come in here and host their show. But I wanted to briefly summarize how you work through the book, because I believe you're supposed to read it 1 week at a time. But because I was on a time crunch, I read the whole thing. And now I'm going back to start again.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful.
Wonderful. Well, it has been such a pleasure speaking with you. And again, it was a free first chapter, you said?
Introduction by Neil Donald Walsh or forward by Neil Donald Walsh and the introduction.
Okay. Intro and forward. All right. And that's at awaken@maryomalley.com. And I will also place a link to that. I'm going to post this on YouTube, on my YouTube channel. So go to youtube.com/spiritualshow, and I'll have links and information on how you can get in touch with Mary. What's in the Way is the Way, moving beyond your struggle into the joy of being fully alive, an absolute must read if you ever wake up in the night and worry about not getting it right, not getting it perfect.
Right.
All right. Thank you so much for your time, Mary. I wish we had another hour to speak.
Me
it's been
too.
Wonderful.
Thank you.
All right. Take care. Be well.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. That was such a pleasure to interview Mary. Thank you for listening. And again, you can find me at youtube.com/spiritualshow. I have almost 1 million views now, so of my whole channel, which is really exciting. So feel free to join me there. I'm going to be putting a lot more focus into that. So What's in the Way is the Way, moving beyond your struggle into the joy of being fully alive. Get it. If you at all connected with what Mary had to say, thank you so much for listening. It's been such a pleasure connecting with you today. Be well. I love you so much. Namaste.
You've been troubled. You've been broke. You've been hungry. No job, no money. The one you love has deserted you. That makes you blue.
Got the blues? Just want to hear some blues? Tune in every Saturday afternoon from 3 to 5 for Code Blue. Right here on CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver, www.citr.ca. Code Blue.